Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Well, the Obama administration continues to push its official narrative on what exactly happened with that downed Malaysian air flight. They are giving us more certainty with very different details every day. Now, the administration continues to promise us that that evidence will be forthcoming. But for now, just look to all the YouTube videos and the social media as the evidence.
All you're willing to present publicly that backs up your version of the story, which may well be the correct version of the story, but all you have...
It may well be, but I don't know.
Because I haven't seen your evidence that shows that the missile was launched from rebel-held territory. All of the accounts that do not support your version of events are wrong, and all of the ones that do support it are right?
Look, we make assessments based on a variety of intelligence and a variety of information, some of which we can talk about publicly and some of which we can't.
Again, you might be right, but I don't see how you can say that everything we say is right and everything the Russians say is a lie. Well, that's exactly what you're
saying. That's not what I said. I said I would say that we are not two credible, equally credible parties when it comes to what we say publicly about the conflict in Ukraine.
And your argument would be that the U.S. is more credible than the Russians are.
I'm not even signifying that question with a response.
Well, I mean,
did you see that impression?
We're more credible? Yes, we don't put out mass amounts of propaganda. We don't put out misinformation about what's happening there repeatedly over the course of this conflict, which I've spoken about from this podium day after day.
See, they would love to show us their absolute proof, but it's classified. Americans, we just can't know just yet exactly what they know, but they just want us to take what they say as proof, and for now, just check out the YouTubes, check out the Twitter accounts. Now, we heard this same exact thing with the Boston bombing narrative, that they had absolute surveillance footage of the Tsarnaevs dropping the backpacks off there at the marathon's finish line. Now, the governor didn't even review this footage himself. He was just briefed on the surveillance tapes by the police, but he went out to all of America and said, I've seen it. These are the only two suspects. Just trust this official narrative that we're giving you. And this is exactly what happened there. There was absolute evidence of weapons of mass destruction. Of course, that faulty information launched a decade-long war. So there is a problem when they say, just trust YouTube. We already know that it can be tampered with. If that is their logic, then here is irrefutable proof of a baby T-Rex at a baseball game. You know, or also, if you go on YouTube, you can find actual footage of ghosts. Now, also, the White House is using as their irrefutable evidence social media accounts, Twitter accounts. Basically, the Ukrainian rebels, one of them tweeted out when the plane was shot down how they were just, you know, excited that they had shot down a plane, and then it was deleted once they found out that it was actually a passenger jet. And they're using this as evidence that the Ukrainian rebels shot down this plane. Of course, because no employer has ever been embarrassed by one of their employees sending out a faulty tweet on behalf of the company of the employer and then later having to retract that tweet. This happened just yesterday. A lackey over at the Environmental Protection Agency tweeted out to all their followers to, hey, come and play the Kim Kardashian Hollywood game with us. The Environmental Protection Agency, okay? So then they were forced to have to apologize for this auto-generated tweet that was sent out by one of their interns. It's as if the Obama administration is saying, look, we put all of this money and effort into investigating how we can manipulate you through social media, so just go there. Stop coming and asking us for actual evidence in the absence of a full investigation. Now, a group of audio experts who analyzed the tape that was released by the Ukrainian security, they concluded that it was just a bunch of different audio recordings patched together. They were unrelated, and they were just sort of stitched together. And now we have another key piece of evidence being debunked. This is according to award-winning site Mises Global Economic Analysis. Now, this site is known to speak with knowledgeable people in various subject areas, and then they'll report on what they said. This account is coming from Jacob Drazen. He's a U.S. citizen who speaks Russian, and he reads Ukrainian and provided this update earlier today. He talks about the video that's making the rounds that purportedly shows an SA-11 unit heading back to Russia after the downing of the plane with a missing missile or so. And, of course, this is now being questioned. Going by the billboard and other features of the scenery, Russian bloggers and news sources claim to have identified the road in the video as having been taken in or near the town of Krasnormsk. Now, this town has been under Kiev's control since May. Now, he goes on to describe the billboard as advertising a car dealership in that town, as well as pointing out that an architectural structure that is in that area is also in the town of Krasnormsk. This town is 74 miles from the Russian border and about 49 miles from where the Malaysian 777 went down. Again, that area has been under Kiev's control since May. But the State Department tells AP reporter Matt Lee that they're not even going to dignify his question with an answer when he dares question the official government narrative. But that is not all. Now there is also video coming out of the BBC. It is showing the reaction by the Ukrainian rebels expressing surprise when they realized that it was a downed passenger flight.
They're foreigners, a voice says. Who allowed them to fly over here?
Now, of course, this video doesn't prove whether or not they were responsible for shooting down the flight, but it does suggest that there was no deliberate plot to target the plane. Now, additionally, contrary to the media reports that are trying to accuse the rebels of attempting to hide or cover up evidence, the men in this clip seem very keen to recover the black boxes from the crash site. And they're also heard saying, gather up the information. Information is the most important. And as of today, they have made arrangements with the Malaysian authorities to hand over the recovered black boxes. Now, Russia has also offered up the evidence it has. The Russia's defense ministry on Monday presented its first detailed account of the final moments of the downed Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports that Russian radar had spotted a second aircraft in the vicinity that shortly before the crash, and that satellite imagery showed Ukraine had moved missile systems into the area before the incident. Now, again, this was an elaborate presentation. It was displaying radar and satellite imagery, and the defense ministry said that it was likely that that second airplane was a Ukrainian fighter jet. They also showed these satellite photos allegedly portraying several Buk ground-to-air missile systems in the area close to where the plane crashed. Now, the systems, according to Mr. Mukashev, who gave this presentation, says they could only belong to the Ukrainian military. And there were a series of questions asked throughout the presentation, but nothing was concluded, which was in direct contrast to what we're seeing in the West. They presented zero evidence, really, but have drawn many inflammatory and politically motivated conclusions. Now, Russia here is showing their evidence, and now it is time for the Pentagon and the West to show their images, their data, and, you know, back it up with their explanations. But instead, we are told to just go and check out social media. People are asking for hard evidence, and the White House is saying, go look at YouTube. It's all right there. But it's not just the White House that is stalling on releasing evidence. A source in Kiev told the Interfax news agency that Ukraine's security service has confiscated recordings of conversations between Ukrainian air traffic control and the crew of the doomed airliner. Now, Ukrainian security services confiscated these tapes immediately after the incident, but so far those recordings have yet to be released. Now, considering that the last recordings of Malaysian Air Flight MH370, that flight that went missing, those recordings were released within about 3 days. Now, that means these recordings should have already been turned over, considering how much important information can be gleaned from them. Here is Paul Joseph Watson with a little more.
The release of these transcripts will help us clear up why, on the day of the shootdown, MH17's flight path went directly over a conflict zone, in contradiction to the previous 10 flight paths of the same aircraft, which avoided the area of eastern Ukraine. They may also provide an insight into why the pilots of MH17 were ordered by air traffic control authorities to fly at 33,000 feet when initially the flight path that they had filed was for an altitude of 35,000 feet. Was this merely due to storms, or was there another reason? Again, the air traffic control tapes will tell us that, but Kiev seems to be very reluctant to release them. Was MH17 escorted by Ukrainian fighter jets, as top aviation experts have asserted, again, not Russian propaganda, top international aviation experts have asserted that the commercial airliner MH17 was in all likelihood escorted by Ukrainian fighter jets before its shootdown. And again, if that's the case, then it will be evident in the conversations between the pilots and air traffic control. So why is Kiev not releasing the transcript of those conversations? Are they trying to hide the fact, as Russia asserted yesterday, that MH17 indeed was being escorted by a second plane, that there were either one or more other aircraft in the vicinity of MH17, most likely Ukrainian fighter jets? That's what Russia asserted. They presented radar and satellite evidence to attest to that fact. The only evidence we've seen from Kiev so far is dodgy YouTube videos which seem hastily slapped together and badly attributed social media posts. Not exactly an abundance of hardcore evidence coming from Kiev to prove their claim that pro-Russian separatist rebels shot down MH17.
So rebels have agreed to give up the black boxes to Malaysian authorities, and yet Kiev, who is pointing this finger of irrefutable proof at Russia, has yet to hand over these recordings. So who is trying to conceal evidence here? Now, we here at InfoWars are not jumping to any conclusions. We are just saying, bring us some actual facts and evidence before you launch World War III. Now, coming up, there is a new race-baiting tactic being used to convince Americans for amnesty. City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with a ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family, and it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, each week, more illegal immigrants are entering the state of Texas than people who are born in Texas during that same period of time. Now, this is according to Texas State Senator Dan Patrick.
Every week, week after week, we've been averaging for the last year apprehending between 6 and 10,000 people a week. If we apprehend 8 or 9,000 a week, that's more people than are born in Texas each week.
So we're talking about an exorbitant amount of people coming into the country. No country can contain that. Texas towns are already reporting feeling the pressure fiscally. But that doesn't matter to Nancy Pelosi. She is once again shaming Americans who don't want to open their hearts and, of course, using the Bible whenever it's convenient for her. Now, Nancy Pelosi says that she believes the U.S. government should look at the children like baby Jesus, who she added was a refugee from violence. So according to Pelosi, they are baby Jesus once they are born, illegally entering the country. But until then, when they're in the womb, no, they do not matter. It's only when they are illegally entering the country. Nobody cares about fetus Jesus. He wasn't the savior while he was in Mary's womb. No, up until then, he didn't matter. But I digress. Now, it's not just arbitrary use of this moral high ground to go ahead and divide and conquer this country. There's the old tried and true tactic of racial division. And now we have a new race baiter in chief. This is Rep. Luis Gutierrez. Gutierrez has been one of the biggest proponents of a pathway to citizenship for all of the country's illegal immigrants. And just last week, he told La Raza in L.A. to get amnesty to punish Americans who are against illegal immigration. He said, "We need to raise our voices, make ourselves citizens, sign up to vote, and punish those who speak ill and criminalize children who come to our border." So here we have him basically saying, punish those who want to uphold the law of this land, rather than say, impeach those who fail to uphold their oath to protect this nation's borders. But he's also just underscoring what we have been telling you. This whole thing is about flooding the country with undocumented Democrats who are gonna vote full totalitarian government. This is absolutely La Raza race baiting right now to divide and conquer. But here again, they're only focusing on the children as pawns in their political game. But according to experts who are actually witnessing what's going on at the border, all of these illegal border crossings, they're saying that the vast majority of these illegal immigrants are not unaccompanied minors.
We're focused on the unaccompanied children represent some 12 to 20%. We're focused on that 80%, the 85%, of which a quarter, according to the Border Patrol, have a criminal record. Since 2008, we've had 642,000 crimes in Texas committed by illegal aliens, 3,500 murders. Lou, when is enough enough?
Now, Texas Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst said that he'd already given up on the federal government and that the focus should be on securing the border. And that is why Texas has deployed the National Guard.
I'm Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs with Infowars.com at Camp Mabry in Austin, Texas. This is the Texas State National Guard base. This is the main spot where everybody mobilizes from. They coordinate all the National Guards throughout the state. Yesterday, the governor, Governor Rick Perry, said that he will be mobilizing 1,000 troops to go to our borders. So I came out here to ask the public affairs officer what their mission's going to be, when they're going, and, you know, what all they're going to be bringing for this mission. When I got out here, I was unable to get an interview with the PAO, but I did get this press release right here from one of the people that work inside the PAO office. And what it states is that 1,000 soldiers will be deploying, but it'll be within the next 30 days they have to do their PMCSs, which is check their vehicles, and they need to make sure that everything's fully mission capable for the mission. And what the lady told me there, she said that DPS is the one calling the shots for this mobilization of National Guard forces to our border. So what we're going to try to do is coordinate, get another meeting up here with them. We'll keep you more informed on this issue with our Border Patrol and the National Guard being sent down there. I'm Joe Biggs. Back to you, Leanne.
Well, coming up, people laughed when zoologists suggested that animals could have mental health disorders just like humans, calling it anthropomorphism. But are we treating humans even worse than animals?
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield, true nascent iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, About a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
There's a new book that's come out. It's called Animal Madness, How Anxious Dogs, Compulsive Parrots, and Elephants in Recovery Can Help Us to Understand Ourselves. Now, the interesting thing about this book is that rather than looking at drugs being tested on animals, it takes drugs that have first been, of course, tested on animals, then used routinely on humans, and now have gone full circle back into the zoo. And so it provides us some interesting insights. And, of course, in reviews, people have talked about anthropomorphism. In other words, projecting human characteristics onto animals. I say to speak of mental illness in animals requires a degree of anthropomorphizing. Or this is a humane, insightful, beautifully written book. Animal Madness gives anthropomorphism a good name. What about anthropomorphism in reverse? Yes, are we treating humans like animals? Let's take a look at a couple of the excerpts from the book. But before we do, there's also another school of thought in how we control animals, and of course is the B.F. Skinner Behavioral Modification School. We use positive operant conditioning to control the animals. Skinner's techniques are actually a humane way to communicate with and to control animals. The problem arises with the reverse anthropomorphism when Skinner starts to treat humans as animals, devoid of freedom and dignity. Of course, much of our government's interaction with everyone from children in schools to airplane travelers with TSA is based on positive operant conditioning. In other words, let me touch you wherever I want and I'll reward you with allowing you to get on a plane. Now, of course, the other popular way to control people is with pharmaceuticals.
If Mr. McMurphy doesn't want to take his medication orally, I'm sure we can arrange that he can have it some other way.
Brightman's book gives us some perspectives on that. Now, Thorazine, of course, was first tested on rats. And what they found was that even though rats could easily climb up a rope to get to some food, once they put them on Thorazine, they couldn't be bothered. Even when they knew a shock was coming on, they would just sit there. What happened when they gave Thorazine to a gorilla in the zoo? This is a gorilla that was going to have to be relocated to a very small cage for a period of 6 months while his usual habitat was repaired. So what they did to help him cope was what any good psychiatrist would do. They put some Thorazine in his coat. What did that do for him? Well, the zookeeper said he shuffled back and forth across his cage with dulled eyes. It was a little like watching the men in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, a review of her book that's on Wired.com today covers a couple of interesting anecdotes entitled, Even the Gorillas and Bears in Our Zoo Are Hooked on Prozac. They look at what happens when we take these drugs that we've now approved for massive use on humans and then turn around and use them on animals in the zoo. Gus, the famous polar bear from the Central Park Zoo, was put on Prozac because he was swimming for 12 hours a day. Now, as an aside, that's what polar bears do. They range over hundreds of miles, and of course, that's why you see all these pictures of polar bears sitting on ice floes, looking like they're forlorn, like their habitat is melting. No, they range over several hundred miles a day. So this polar bear was swimming 12 hours a day, and they said that that is 0.00009% of his usual habitat. But, of course, instead of giving him a larger habitat, which they couldn't do, they put him on Prozac to try to control his behavior. Now, some of the zookeepers who were using psychopharmaceuticals on these animals were curious if other zoos were doing the same thing. Half of the 31 institutions throughout the U.S. and Canada that responded to their survey had used psychopharmaceuticals on their gorillas. But here's the interesting thing about it. They said no one is going to admit it. Why are they ashamed of the fact that they're using psychopharmaceuticals on animals in the zoo, and they're not ashamed of using it on humans? And, of course, that's the real question. The new reboot of the Planet of the Apes series has big pharma experiments going out of control with devastating consequences for humans. But the reality is that big pharma has been out of control for a long time and with devastating consequences. These drugs are now being prescribed even for animals in the zoo are being used so prolifically on humans that they're showing up in our water supply as well. And of course, one of those consequences for society is the connection between psychopharmaceuticals and mass shootings. If the primates in the zoo are on Prozac, Zoloft, etc., just make sure you don't give them the guns. We know what those drugs motivate people to do.
Well, that sounds a lot like an actual prison planet. At least the animals can see the cages that they're in. Well, with more on that is Jakari Jackson. Jakari, maybe they should start handing out these Prozac subscriptions with your new phone plans.
Oh, you might as well, because, you know, as Aldous Huxley said, he's trying to get people to enjoy their servitude. And, you know, the thing about this is because if you try to get people, force it on people to carry around some little tracking device, let's say 50 years ago, you said, I'm going to have you carry around a box that records your conversations, your text messages. Well, they didn't have text messages back then, but your old-fashioned letter writing, and we're going to record all that and put it into a big database. People would have said no. But if you make it trendy, if you give them apps and you let them download music and so forth, people jump at the chance. They'll spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars and wait in line for hours just to get these little Imperial probe droids. And now we have this. Verizon offers free gifts to customers who consent to surveillance. And as the article points out, the tracking program is called Smart Rewards. If you just allow Verizon to monitor your web surfing, your app usage, your location data, and then they'll bless you with travel vouchers and all kinds of little goodies. But, you know, these type of programs are nothing new, because we've seen back in 2011, it was being reported by Computer World, snooping, it's not a crime, it's a feature. So they're trying to say that, you know, it's the hip thing to do, it's the trendy thing to do, all your friends are doing it, you don't want to be the last guy caught up in this spin cycle. And it says that they will use apps on your microphone, on your cell phone, to listen in to your personal life. And you may be one of these people, you say, well, I have nothing to hide, I'm not doing anything illegal. And, okay, that may be the case. You may not be a drug dealer. You may not have dead bodies in your basement. But that doesn't mean that you have some personal information that you don't want the world at large to be abreast of. So let's talk about this. Edward Snowden has come out and said that the NSA snoops are sharing your intercepted sextings, which means if you had a little nasty conversation or you're sending your naked selfies back and forth, the NSA has this and they're trading this stuff around like playing cards. And this is the world we live in, a world where people are saying, the pundits are on the big news channel saying, thank goodness for the NSA.
That's the latest data points. At the end of the day, this is a time where the citizens around the world are going to be very happy for the NSA, because they're going to be scarfing up these telephone calls. They're going to be able to analyze this data. They'll be able to determine, most likely, some of the communications that went on after the crash happened, which will probably clarify the picture in the days to come.
So thank goodness, Leanne, that we have all this technology. Thank goodness that there are people looking over our shoulder and watching our every move. And now we see this article. This came out a few years ago. CIA chief will spy on you through your dishwasher, because people think it's, you know, it's just the cell phones, it's just the laptops. It goes much further than that, because they have the smart fridges that tell you when you're out of milk. They have the smart dishwashers and all these things. And people say, why? You know, why all this technology? Why all this buying? You know, I can't think like these people think, so I can't give you a definitive answer as to why. I'm just telling you that it is going on. And we'll end the segment with this. We see CNN now. Your TV might be watching you. And in this clip, the CNN analyst, she's talking to a security advisor, security expert, and he's saying, you know, we're in the world today where you're to the point where you actually have to put tape over your computer, over your TV set. You know, Leanne, back in the day, if you put tape over your computer, over your phone, over anything, people said, oh, you're a kook, you're crazy, and maybe they still do. But in this, you know, even CNN now is admitting that, hey, it's not all as cracked up to be. You don't want to be caught up in the surveillance system.
Right. And Alex has been reporting about this for a very long time. People used to make fun of him when he would say, put tape over your computer.
And yeah, because we'd have people come in, the writers from, big magazines or whatever. They come in and do profiles on us. And they'd see, we have tape over the laptops and other things. They say, why do you guys do that? And he'd tell them, yeah, they can spy on you, through all this stuff. And he'd say, oh, you're crazy. And now we have this article. We have the CIA director, the former CIA director saying, yeah, they can spy on you and they will spy on you if they deem it necessary.
Absolutely, Jakari. And it's kind of ironic that the CIA director was actually taken down by his clandestine emails of all of his clandestine activities. So nobody is safe from the prying eyes of the surveillance state.
That's exactly right, because you see it all the time. The celebrities, all these big people, but they see, it's Kim Kardashian, or it's Justin Bieber or whoever else. They think, oh, that's just a celebrity. It's too bad, so sad for them. But then you can get caught up in these things yourselves. You have all these side sites, the revenge porn and all this other stuff that a normal person could end up on. So you have to be very careful about your online activities.
All right. Well, thank you, Jakari. Well, that is it for the show tonight. Don't forget, we are listener supported. Please go to prisonplanet.tv and become a subscriber. You can share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. You can find all of this content there and so much more. And don't forget, we are running our special through the end of July. Thanks so much for tuning into the show tonight. We'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
I'm going to tell you about a mission that I went on where the Taliban pretty much almost overran this mountain peak that we were on. We had maybe 16, 17 guys, and they had a couple hundred. It's a pretty crazy time. So I'm back at my little district center, my DC, and we're heading out. We lived maybe 45-minute drive away from the border only because we have to go, 25 miles an hour through IED-infested roads. So we get out there and get up this hill. When you get up this mountain, when we drive up this mountain, it's mind-blowing as to how small the road is compared to how wide the MRAP is, the Humvees and all that we have out there. Literally, this much of your tire is hanging off like a cliff, and just rocks are falling down, and you're like sitting there in the turret looking over, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die before I even make it up here to ambush the Taliban. So I always hated that ride up that freaking hill. We get up there, we set up our firing points all up and down the mountain. The way the mountain ran was, it was a hilltop, and then the Pakistani mountains were right here, all just surrounding us. So you had the north side, it was a north to south run on that mountain, and we had HESCO barriers that were set up. So you only had small avenues you could go to get to these different firing points. And the Taliban knew that in previous times before this, they set up guns where they could shoot down those areas because they know we would have to run up to, get more ammo, things like that, supplies. So we get up there, we set in, we dig in, we start filling sandbags, get our security area set up, our perimeter, all the firing points set up, the 50 cals and Mark 19s and 240 Bravos. And, day turns to night. We start shooting off some flares, hoping that that'll trigger some kind of response from the Taliban, because we know they come through there. We know that's a huge supply route from Pakistan back in Afghanistan and this ravine across the way. So all night we stay up. We don't sleep. We're sitting there waiting because we think, all right, at any second, these guys are going to start attacking us. Nothing happens. It's daytime. Morning comes through, and we're like, screw it, nothing happened. Let's go ahead and break everything down. So we start breaking down our firing points. As soon as the last weapon got taken down, I was standing on the back of the flatbed, and people were handing up the ammo crates and the guns to me. As soon as that last gun got brought to my truck, an airburst went off right overhead, and I dropped and hit the ground, and I'm sitting there like holding my ears with my hands like this, and I'm sitting there like, all right, I'm checking myself. I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on? And next thing you know, you just hear gunfire from freaking everywhere. You know, there's just things blowing, there's rocks flying all over the place, and people are just running around like, what the hell's going on? So we just start throwing the guns back off the truck, and I'm like, all right, man, we got to get the hell out of here. Let's go, let's go. So we get up the hill, and we start dishing out the weapons, and it takes about 5 to 6 minutes. It seems like a lifetime to get all this set back up. We get it all set up, and since I was the staff sergeant, I have to go around and check on the different firing spots. So during this freaking battle, I'm checking real quick to make sure everyone's set up good before I engage myself. So I'll never forget this one point where I'm at the south part of the mountain where the trucks are and all that. And I check on all the men there. Then I have to go to the north side, and I have to go through this little narrow passageway where there's HESCO barriers that are about 6 foot tall, full of sand. And I'm sitting here leaning against this HESCO wall, like in this little divot, and bullets are just whizzing by my chest, and I'm doing everything I can to just like hold my breath so a bullet doesn't catch me at all. Like the slightest, you know, breath in, my chest would expand and then end up catching one of those freaking rounds whizzing by my chest. So I'm sitting there like, you know, counting. I'm like, all right, please hurry up, reload. Weapon stops, boom, start running up. You know, I get about 10, 15 seconds, stop again, and I'm leaned against this wall, and there's just bullets. You just see the tracers just whizzing by, you know, and you're sitting there holding on for dear life, like, what the hell's going on? So I finally get up to the northern checkpoint to where I need to be, and I'm able to start laying down suppressive fire as well. I mean, we're shooting out Mark 19s. We've got Chinese rockets coming in. I mean, they are mortaring us. There's heavy weapons fire, small arms fire. I mean, it is nuts. RPGs are coming in all over the place, and it was just complete and total chaos, like the apocalypse was happening. It was just so nuts to be sitting there, and all you see are just, you know, these tracers just whizzing by you nonstop, and every second you're sitting there like, you know, all right, I'm doing my job, I'm shooting, and, you know, you see something just whiz right by your face, and you can feel the air sometimes of it whizzing by, and you're like, oh my God, that was close. You know, and you can't help but not, you know, your life kind of flashes before you real quick. And you're sitting there like, you know, what the hell's going on? Next thing you know, it just dead silence. And we're just sitting there looking around, and I'm like checking myself. I'm like, my adrenaline's going so much, my heart's pounding. I'm like, I'm probably shot somewhere. You know, and we all check each other. And it quietens down for a minute. Then the rocket fire starts coming in again, and we're sitting there like, all right, you know, what are we going to do? So we get on the radio and we call in for a fire mission to some M777 Apple II howitzers that are about 16, 17 miles behind us. So we're sitting there calling in fire missions. We've got these huge 105, 109 pound bullets coming over our head, these rounds, and they're just raining steel down into this valley, just whizzing over our head. And then we have the little birds, the Kiowas, they start coming in and doing gun runs with the Hellfire missiles into the sides of the mountain. I mean, you're talking about sitting there and hearing splash, and you're just waiting for that splash artillery round to explode. It's just like, and the whole ground is just shaking. And you're sitting there thinking, if these guys are off one mil from that far back, that can be them taking us out. That's one of the scariest things, to be that close, danger close, to the freaking rounds coming in over your head. You could hear the, like, overhead, and then hitting the ground and just seeing the mountain explode. It was one of the craziest days of my life to experience that. It was so mind-blowing. And it's just one of those things. I mean, we got lucky. No one got hurt that day. But it's just one of those, you know that someone was looking out for you, because that much going on that fast, that intense, that, you know, everything just turned to hell in seconds. And luckily, you know, we were able to make it out of there, you know, unhurt. But it was one of the craziest experiences of my life. And it haunts me to this day because I can still hear that explosion over my head. And I'm sitting there dropping to the truck and I'm like checking myself. I'm like, oh my God, am I still here? You know, I just wanted to share that experience with you guys. I'm Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, U.S. Army retired with InfoWars.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.